We await now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Good morning, my family. Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning. Is it not a good morning this morning? Hallelujah. It's good to be here. We want to wish all you beautiful dads happy Father's Day. Happy Father's Day. You earned it. Amen. You deserve the acknowledgement that children have for you this day, and we give you the support and the praise for your continual fight of faith that you as Christian fathers have in the world today. Our scripture will be coming from Job chapter 29, verses 1 through 15. We're not going to read that today because of how much it is, but we'll be referencing it in this morning's sermon. And the subject for the sermon today is five virtues of a righteous man. Five virtues of a righteous man. Somebody say, speak to me, Lord. Job chapter 29, it gives us a wonderful insight into God's grand idea of what God expects of men. Now, there are a lot of cultural influences on us that shapes the image and understanding of manhood in America and in the world today. But if anyone knows what men are called to be, it certainly is God. For we all were created in the image and likeness of God. Though that is true, yet we have all sorts of images of manhood running around in America, ranging from Pee Wee Herman, y'all remember him, to Dwayne Johnson, better known as The Rock, from hardcore rappers to effeminate rock stars, from workaholic executives to shrewd and lazy men who are building webs of deception to capture their next prey for someone to take care of them. There are so many different images of manhood that young boys growing up in America are confused. And they have to pick and choose as if they are in a buffet with all the many delicacies and things they like before them, not knowing particularly what to choose. So some very important questions that all Christian men must ask themselves is, what kind of man does God want me to be? How does God want me to exist in this world as a godly man? And where can I go to find examples of who a godly man is and what a godly man does? Are you listening this morning? Some may quickly say, just look to Jesus. But to be honest with you, Jesus is really on another level. I mean, he's the Son of God who never did anything wrong. And I'm just another brother who loves God and really wants to get it right. But if I'm honest, as hard as I try, I will never be like Jesus. As hard as I try, I will never be perfect. I got issues, and I don't always think right, and I don't always do right. But for me, as I search through the list of great heroes of the Bible, an illustration of a godly man that works for me is Job. Job did his best to live close to God. But there were times in Job's life when he had issues. Not with himself, as I have, but But Job had issues with God. And though we celebrate the life of Job as we should, but Job did not always think right. Listen to what he says in his agony. Though I cry, I've been wronged by God. I get no response, though I call for help, and there is no justice in the world. And then in Job chapter 16, verse 7, he says, surely, O God, you have worn me out. You have devastated my entire household. So Job, in my estimation, is a good model for Christian men to observe, because Job struggled with living like you and I struggle with. He has flaws, and his flaws are not hidden from us. His questions about God's unfairness are not muzzled. His words are raw and uncensored. Job has thrown off the cloak of religious piety, and he tells God how he really feels. And God allows Job to speak. Though he had issues with God, yet he remained faithful to God. Even with his accusations of God's cruelty and unfairness, Job was a righteous man. So for me, as I look at Job and I see me with my own personal struggles, but I can look at Job and see something that I need to pull from the narrative of his life. For Job is a classic example of a virtuous man, a righteous man that we all should be able to relate to as Christian men. Now, when we speak of virtues, we're talking about a behavior that reveals moral standards. To be virtuous from the Bible standpoint is to be righteous. It is the righteousness of God, or to live life from a righteous and moral perspective. Simply put, to have a virtuous life or to have a righteous life is simply doing the right thing. Being right. Upholding the right standards in life. Righteous living is a life that is lived in accordance with the will of God. And whenever you are in the will of God, you are on the right side of life. So in chapter 29, I find that there are five virtues of moral excellence that Christian men should aspire to gain. As I look at Job, even when he's at his worst, he's at his best. Even when he's struggling with the issues of God, we find in that 29th chapter of Job five virtues that kept Job focused and balanced. And even though things were hard for Job, he was still able to be a righteous and virtuous man of God. And the first one I see is in verses 2-5. And in those verses, we find that the virtue that Job had was to be a friend of God. In verses 2-5, Job is reminiscing about how good things were before the conflagration of trouble consumed him. Listen to what he says. How I long for the months gone by, for the days when God watched over me, when his lamp shone upon my head and by his light I walked through the darkness. Oh, for the days when I was in my prime, when God's intimate friendship blessed my home, when the Almighty was still with me and my children were around me. I want you to center in on verse 4 when it says, when God's intimate friendship blessed my home. Many years before he went through his trial of faith, Job had been faithfully walking with God as God's friend. And not just any kind of friend. He was a close and intimate friend. Job just did not believe God. Job was a friend of God. For Job, God was not just a God who gave rules to keep him in line. But Job was close enough to God and intimate enough God that Job became a friend of God. For in his friendship with God, he recognized that this God I serve is a God who loves, but is also a God who loves to be loved. We become righteous men, my brothers, when we dare to walk beyond the theological boundaries of religion and make our way into the presence to genuinely love and worship God. Or to say it another way, when we just stop believing in God and move beyond belief into a relationship with God. Did you hear me today? When our belief in God no longer satisfies us, but we quench for more of God, we desire more of God, and our belief propels us into the realm of mystery where we can connect with God, spirit to spirit, heart to heart, and walk with God, where our belief now becomes a living reality because we know God for who he is. Job had this kind of history with God. That is why he could say, oh, that I wish it were as the months passed, as in the days when you watched over me. He had that confidence beyond belief because he had an intimate friendship with God. And so when trouble came, it seems as if that friendship was severed and he became upset with God. And he could get upset with God because God was Job's friend. And friends don't leave you wallowing in misery unless they have abandoned you. And Job felt abandoned by God. He walked closely with God every day of his life. And now he is struggling with the uncertainty of his future. All that he has and all that he was is lost, and God does not answer his prayer. God does not reveal his face. God is hidden. God is silent. And Job can't understand why. He's wondering, where is God? Where is my friend that I love? And I can't understand it because I love him, but I also know that God loves me. American author Brennan Manning says this: my trust in God flows out of the experience of his loving me. Day in and day out, he loves me. Whether I'm sick or in good health, whether I'm in a state of grace or disgrace, he comes to me where I live and loves me as I am. That was Job's experience in the past. But now God silently watches Job in his agony and does nothing to remind him of his friendship. But Job remained faithful. So the first virtue of a righteous man, my brothers, is friendship with God. If we are going to be the righteous men that the world is needing and searching for. Before that can happen, we have to become friends of God. The second virtue of a righteous man is that he is a faithful family man. In verses 4 through 5, Job says, "Oh, for the days when I was in my prime, when God's intimate friendship blessed my house, when the Almighty was still with me and my children were around me." Oh, can you see it? Are you getting the picture, my brothers? In verse 4, Job has a loving relationship with God. And that's the first virtue of a righteous man. And in verse 5, we see the second virtue of a righteous man. Job has a loving relationship with his family. He says, "My children were around me." Job was in the center of their lives. And whenever you are in the center of anything, you have access to the outer edges. Being in the center of his children's life meant that he could be involved in their lives. All of them had his attention. All of them could see and live by his example. All of them felt his influence. All of them experienced his love. A righteous man does not get so involved in advancing their careers or saving the world that he leaves his children behind. Righteous men don't get so overwhelmed and satisfied by acquiring the goods of the world or the applause of others or making his own way through life without involving his children. Turn to Job chapter 1, verse 5, and we can see how Job is involved in the life of his children and the depth to which Job was involved in his children's life. It reads, "So it was, when the days of feasting had run their course, that Job would send and sanctify his children, and he would rise early in the morning and offer burnt sacrifices according to the number of them all. For Job said, 'It may be that my sons have sinned and cursed in their hearts.' And this Job did regularly." Job was their priest. He was their access to God. He didn't depend on the church or the preacher or the Sunday school teacher or some college class to reveal to them who God was. Job was the priest of the home. And when his children got out, he made sacrifices on their behalf because he was afraid that if his children did something that was unpleasing to God, Job was standing in the gap between their sin and between their God and made a way for God to forgive them. That's what knowledge does. We no longer give sacrifices, but yet we make sacrifices for our children. And the greatest sacrifices that we can make for our children is to sacrifice our own needs, Dad, and to sacrifice everything we think we want and need in life, and to make sure that our children know who God is. Brothers, how often do you pray for your children? How often do you pray with your children? Do they know how much you love God? Have you been a godly example of a righteous man of God before your sons and daughters? Or only do they see a side of you on Sunday morning? Can your sons look to you as an example of a man they are to become? Can your daughters use you as the standard of the kind of man they should marry? Job was a righteous man because he was a family man. That's the second virtue of a righteous man. The third virtue of a righteous man is that he is actively involved in the affairs of his community. Verse 7 says, when I went out to the gate by the city, when I took my seat in the public square, the gate by the city, my sisters and brothers, was the place where the elders and the judges gathered to judge the people. They were men of respect. They were the gatekeepers, as you would say. They are the fathers of the culture. They are the ones that people looked up to. They were the ones who defined the climate of the culture. And Job was head and shoulders above them all. When I went out to the gate by the city, when I took my seat in the public square, Job was involved in the affairs of the city. As a matter of fact, he was a significant player in keeping the peace and the justice in the city. He helped the poor. He defended the weak. He supported the widows and the orphans. He spoke wisdom to the misinformed, and when he spoke, people listened. A righteous man cannot sit back when the peace of the city is being disturbed. A righteous man cannot sit back. He must get involved in bringing God's blessing upon the city. He seeks to uproot the sin and the evil that distresses the community. He positions himself where he can bring about a positive change. He seeks to maintain the high ideals of righteousness and justice, fairness and equality, love and peace within the city gates. Job was a righteous man. He loved God. He loved his family. He loved his city. Job was a righteous man because he was a friend of God. Job was a righteous man because he was a faithful family man. Job was a righteous man because he actively involved himself in the affairs of the community. The fourth virtue of a righteous man is that Job was a great man of respect. Verses 8 through 11 says, the young men saw me and stepped aside. The old men rose to their feet when I walked into the room. The chief men refrained from speaking and covered their mouths with their hands. The voices of the nobles were hushed, and their tongues stuck to the roof of their mouths. Job was a bad man. He went on to say in verse 11, whoever heard me spoke well of me, and those who saw me commended me. Job lived his life in such a way that he gathered the respect of the city. He was not involved in foolishness and frivolity. He did not live a life that had no meaning because he had the right to do whatever he wanted to do. No, he lived his life so that his life might influence others for good because he was a friend of God. And whenever you are a friend of God, you walk away with God saturated in your being. He was not involved in the foolishness. He was not uppity or conceited. He was not proud or arrogant. He respected himself enough to love and respect everybody. And when he spoke, His words carried weight and influence. Do you know what the word glory means? The word in Hebrew is kabod. And that means weightiness. In other words, when the glory of God fills the room, everything else has to leave. And the weight of God saturates the entire place. And when people are in the presence of God, we call them heavy. We call them deep. Because they have been in the presence of God and have learned from God. That's why it's good for us, my brothers, to go beyond belief into a relationship with God, because you can't learn how to be heavy in seminary. Yeah, you might have some good thoughts, but the effect of your life in Christ will have great significance when you are in the presence of God and His presence shines through you as it did from Moses when he descended from the mountain with the laws of God in his hand. It says, young men were in awe of him. His peers looked up to him for direction. Governmental officials dared not to invoke a policy that was in opposition to Job's righteous stance. And he was a man of great respect. Oh, Macon, Georgia, and the world needs just a few righteous men. This is the kind of man God needs for these desperate times. This is the kind of man God needs to be the conduit through which the righteousness of God can flow into the land. This is the kind of man that God can use to bypass foolish religious and can use the relationship that he has to speak truth, to live truth, to be truth. Respect is not given, my brothers. It's earned. Respect comes to a man when he stands for truth and not popularity. Respect comes to the man who engages the minds of the simple and brings enlightenment to the ignorant. Respect comes to the man who upholds true to the way of the righteous and then stands strong in the face of rejection. Righteous man, a heavy man filled with the glory of God, is not looking for applause or approval or anything else that the world has to offer. Because he carries within him the glory, the weightiness of God. And Job was that kind of man. He shamed the foolish in their folly and enlightened the ignorance in their darkness. But most importantly, he treated everyone with respect. And he recognized, just as God does, that every human being deserves to be respected regardless of their status or position in life. Job was respected because he was a man that knew how to respect others. And then, lastly, the fifth virtue of a righteous man is compassion. It's in the book, you just missed it. Verses 14 through 15, it says, I delivered the poor who cried out and the fatherless and he who had no helper. The blessing of the perishing man came upon me and I caused the widow's heart to sing for joy. I was eyes to the blind and I was feet to the lame. I was a father to the poor and I searched out the case that I did not know. I broke the fangs of the wicked and plucked the victim from their deaths.
Compassion is a virtue that God needs righteous men to exhibit and demonstrate in the world today, because we live in a mean, angry, and divisive world. If you don't think like I think, you're on my side. You are my enemy. If you don't agree with everything I say and do, then you've got nothing to do with me. But here Job was a man who was rich beyond rich, but yet he had compassion on those who had little or nothing. Compassion, my sisters and brothers, is not only the ability to feel another's pain, but compassion also moves the compassionate to act on the behalf of those who are unable to help themselves. To be compassionate, one must have a genuine care and concern for others. But that concern must be more than sympathy or a sympathetic concern. Compassion is only useful when it moves us to sacrifice. James says, don't simply pray for a brother who comes into the assembly and has no food and no clothes. No! First help a brother out. Give him something to eat and give him something to wear. Then pray for him. Compassion means nothing if it doesn't move you to sacrifice. Righteous compassion will cause you to make sacrifices on the behalf of others. Listen to what else Job says. He says, I delivered the poor. I helped the fatherless. I was the eyes of the blind and feet to the lame. I broke the fangs of the wicked and plucked the victim from their teeth. This is the man who a young boy stepped aside when he walks by in awe and admiration. This is the man who intellectuals put over their mouths and dare not speak in the presence of Job. This is the man who was rich beyond rich in the community. This is the man of great respect and admiration in all the city. And yet, the same man helps the poor and speaks for the fatherless and does that which lifts people out of death's control. Job just didn't talk about conditions of injustice, poverty, and pain, and the plight of the misfortunate. Job used his time, his intelligence, his money, and his wisdom to fight for the benefit of others. That's the real virtue of compassion. The real virtuous man, the real righteous man, doesn't see black or white, Republican or Democrat. He sees right and wrong, justice and injustice, righteousness and unrighteousness, and will give of himself for the benefit of others so that justice can roll down like a mighty stream.
So God is calling a righteous man to come and become his intimate friend. God is calling a righteous man to love his family and to be the center of his children's lives. God is calling a righteous man to participate in the affairs of our community so that God can be present in areas of communal needs. God is calling a righteous man to become a man of great respect, whose concerns are higher than his own, and his ideals of righteousness, truth, justice, and love are gathered from his relationship with God. God is calling a righteous man to become a man of compassion who will speak for those who cannot speak for themselves, fight for those who society deems unworthy, and to give hope to those whose hopes have been trampled to the ground by political and economic structures designed to keep certain folks in their place. And God wants me to ask you this morning, Brother, are you that man? Are you that man? Job was just one man. And God greatly used that man. As a matter of fact, you search throughout the whole Bible, and whenever there was a great move of God, God didn't go to the masses. He found one. I don't know if you've noticed it or not, but I never use the plural noun men. Throughout this whole sermon, I never used the plural noun men. Why? Because men are drifting further and further away from God. God ain't looking for men. He's looking for a man. And my prayer that this sermon may never be celebrated. But my prayer is that there is somewhere in this arena, in this church, in this sanctuary, or somewhere perusing on the world wide web, that this message will find their way into their life and say, God, I want to be that man. The world is in need of a man. A man who will become a friend with God. A man who will love his family. A man who will love his city. A man who will carry himself with respect and compassion. God is looking for a man. There is a man, I'm certain, that God wants you to use you like he used a Gideon. Gideon was the least likely to succeed. He was from the lowest family, and he was the lowest member in the lowest family. But God saw him one day and said, don't let the context of your life define for who you are. No, you are a mighty man of valor. And God used him to bring deliverance to his city. There may be a young man, young cat. He ain't old. He's still dropping his pants around his butt and wearing his hat backwards. But it might be a young man whom God will use like a young David, whom God will use and rise up to defeat the Goliaths that intimidate us and cause us to not move forward because we are isolated and paralyzed in our fear. So, if you're waiting for a lot of brothers to join you to see what you see and feel what you feel, you're wasting your time. All God needs and all God wants is you. He needs you to enter into an intimate relationship with him. He needs you to love your family and to be in the center of your children's lives. He needs you to love your city. He needs you to be a man of integrity and respect. He needs you to be a compassionate friend to all humanity. God is looking.